worst week yet. The least informed podcast on the left. It's a podcast where every week we dig through the ditches and burn through the witches and slam in the back of the fucking news. I am Andrew Hillary. I am your host. Listeners, we are coming to you live from a drastically empty room in Alaska. How the fuck are you doing?
Are there any other rooms in Alaska?
I went out to breakfast this morning at a more well-attended table. This is going well. Oh my gosh. I am so happy to be here. Thank you to the Before You Die Festival for having us. I, of course, am not alone. You saw the description of the episode. You know it's not just me. I am joined by first-time guest, longtime friend, Monica. Hello, Monica. How are you doing?
Hi, Andy. I'm so excited to be here in Alaska. It is not the worst week yet.
You know,
yet.
Here's the reason why you don't think it's the worst week yet is because you haven't looked at the news. Oh my God.
That's your job.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah. No,
put me back in my place.
I took a look at things that were going on and, I don't want to spoil the next fucking 90 minutes, but yeah, it's not good. I don't even know how many minutes we're going to do. It's not just me and Monica, though. We've got a third guest.
Oh.
Coming to Alaska by way of New York, please give it up for Lauren Petrie.
Thank you. Yeah, that was underwhelming as fuck. Thank you very much.
Thank you to the four people in the room for clapping. I do say give it up to like for our guests when there's nobody in the room. So this is, it's, you know, we're making progress here.
I've been to autopsies that were more well-attended than this.
Well, to be fair, the podcast before us was a snack podcast, so I think everybody is just having their little post-snack nap.
Yeah, everybody's got the itis now.
It's kicking, and that room in the back is looking real tired.
Yeah, so we are here in Alaska. I've been drinking for like 5 days straight. Somehow I've avoided getting hungover yet. I don't know. I think I'm cheating God. I think my plane's going to crash on the way home. And frankly, as long as I get this podcast up, it will have been worth it. but I'm having a good time. We've seen a lot of wildlife while we were up here. Like, I saw a kangaroo, a Sasquatch, a dinosaur.
Saw some crackheads outside of the Black Angus Inn. I think that definitely counts as wildlife.
Yeah,
I haven't seen a dragon, but I can hear them at night. And, like, I know that they're around here. So Alaska's beautiful.
What's in the booze you've been drinking?
I don't know if you know, but those dragons just got their pilot license and actually just flying all those tiny planes.
Acid. It's really top grade acid in Alaska.
Dragons and propeller planes. That's all that's up there.
Puddle jumping dragons. Folks, we are here to discuss the events of the week. Now, Lauren, Monica, I don't know if you're aware. I was looking into what just went down over the last 7 days, but this may have once again been the worst week yet. Ugh. It's the name of the show. So I want to just dive in. We got a lot of stories to talk about, and I'm already sweating. So I want to just dive in. This is a story that is for the Alaskan natives, all one of you in the room. I'm keeping up with Alaskan politics, and this story came across my desk, and we needed to talk about it. So we've been covering on this podcast the congressional run of one Sarah Palin, Alaska's own. Give it up for Sarah. Apparently some Palin-hating people out in the... That's okay. We haven't made our endorsement yet, but I looked into this. There are 50 people running for this one congressional seat in the race for it. And it's starting to heat up. A new challenger has just entered the ring. That would be none other than the mayor tempore of the city of the North Pole, a man whose legal name is Santa Claus.
Is this real?
A man named Santa Claus is trying to become Alaska's next congressperson.
My goodness.
And, oh, okay,
is
so
he... Is this a situation where we have to believe in it?
Here's the thing. He describes himself as a democratic socialist in the vein of Bernie Sanders, which is cool, but honestly, I did not even need to read that much before I came to this decision. It is with great honor that I am announcing on this stage tonight that the worst week yet is fully endorsing Santa Claus.
Fuck yeah. Let's endorse that. Yeah, I'm down offer a democratic socialist that will give me free shit.
I would be willing to go as far as committing voter fraud to cast a vote in a state I do not live in to make sure Santa Claus... I don't want him to stop at the Congress. I want him to go all the way. The Claus Lighthouse, dude.
I'm torn about this Santa being a socialist thing, because on one hand, he does like to give away free shit, but then on the other, I'm pretty sure that there's a capitalist situation going on with the labor. I mean, think of the elves.
Yeah, no, the elves are being exploited.
Yeah,
but, and you know,
he really call himself a democratic socialist if he's up there exploiting a whole, like, race of
beings? There might be some light fascism happening at the North Pole.
Oh,
look,
have you seen his boots? Santa is definitely into some...
Dude, the NLRB does not have jurisdiction over the North Pole.
I think his tagline will be smaller the hands, the bigger the savings.
Holy shit, dude. Also, like, Santa Claus, not great on the environment either. He's still giving out coal. Jesus fucking Christ. All right. Everybody that lives in Alaska, vote for Santa Claus. Everybody that is comfortable doing voter fraud, vote for Santa Claus. We got to get this man into the House. So I want to move on. This week, terror struck the nation's capital as an unknown assailant was reported for attacking 9 different people, including a sitting congressperson. Representative Amy Bear told police on Tuesday that he'd been walking along and out of nowhere, he felt something lunge at the back of his leg. Luckily, authorities were able to capture the attacker and immediately sentence them to the death penalty.
Immediately?
Is that how it works?
That wasn't enough, though. They actually, due to the severity and circumstance of these attacks, the state decided to sentence her 3 children to death as well.
That's very Russian. Just go after the whole family.
The attacker was a rabid fox, is the thing. This fox is just trying to kill people in D.C. And they're like, no, we gotta take this fox out and all of its fucking bloodline. They got rabies? I don't know. How do you ask a fox? Like,
what does the fox say?
You have to, like, can you imagine, the have you been tested recently conversation is always hard enough with people. Asking a fox, like, not only are you safe, but, like, what are your kids doing?
What is your rabies status?
So the government just killed this whole family. So, congratulations to the D.C. Animal Control, I guess. I don't know. I think a congressperson also currently has rabies, too, if
good.
I'm reading between the lines here.
Thank God. At least they're interesting.
I hope there's another Santa Claus in D.C. that can take his place. I want there to be a Santa Claus from every state. Wait a minute, what am I talking about? D.C. doesn't have any fucking Congress people. God bless America.
What is happening? I think Andrew's glitched in Alaska.
Look, I've done a lot of things in Alaska. I absolutely have glitched. I've also timed out.
None of us are hungover. It's a miracle. Anchorage, what have you done?
Anchorage, oh, I love you. I'm in you. Our next story this week, this is a bit of good news. Ketanji Brown Jackson was confirmed to the Supreme Court, solidifying the conservative 6-3 majority. Making sure that, you know, abortion's still going to be illegal. But it's good. Even three Republicans voted for her. Susan Collins, Mittens Romney, and Alaska's very own Lisa Murkowski. Give it up for Lisa.
Yeah.
She in the room right now?
Do you know her? Is she here?
She said she RSVP'd on Facebook. I can't believe she's not here. I feel
Lisa,
so bad.
Come on the pod.
What the fuck, Lisa?
Yeah. First
she comes and picks up her, like, twink boys.
To be fair, there's, like, 15 rooms in this bar. She might be here somewhere.
She's up in the Russian room.
Now, of course, you know, a few Republicans getting, you know, voting for the Democratic nominee for Supreme Court, it led to some blowback, but none more strongly than the blowback from friend of the pod, Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Friend of the pod!
Look, we got some weird friends. Marjorie Taylor Greene saw that these 3 Congress senators voted for Ketanji Brown Jackson, and she tweeted, "Murkowski, Collins, and Romney are pro-pedophile."
Jesus, like, who's the pedophile in this situation?
The pedophile is Marjorie Taylor Greene's friend, Matt Gaetz.
Yeah. I mean, how do you prove people are drinking adrenochrome? Like, how do you even?
It's the same thing with the fox. It's like, you gotta ask him, and it's like an awkward conversation.
What's your adrenochrome status?
We can get a whole checklist.
Right.
I'm not drinking Adrenochrome because I think they put chips in it.
There's a dye in this Adrenochrome. It's going to track me.
I got the Moderna Adrenochrome.
You're just getting your conspiracy theories mixed up now, okay? You're not being very pure.
So, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene, fucking psycho. It's still friend of the pod, but, you know, it's one of those kind of friendships where it's always very strained. But I would say one of Marjorie Taylor Greene's enemies, none other than Jimmy Kimmel. He came after Marjorie. On his show, he made a joke.
Because Kimmel is so vicious.
Oh, right? You know?
Right, he's known a real trailblazer.
Yeah.
Famous canceled comedian Jimmy Kimmel. who didn't do blackface, he did entire black body.
Can you imagine being the person who has to paint Jimmy Kimmel?
What? Paint him? Who the fuck is painting anyone?
Black body.
Oh, okay.
They make Ted dance.
Don't you know how body paint works?
I thought it was spray on. I don't know.
Have you
I guess that's still
cosplay?
Painting. I've never done blackface. So,
it doesn't have to be black colored. It could be green.
Yet.
Yeah.
So Jimmy Kimmel brought it up on his show. He's like, Marjorie Taylor Greene tweeted this. And then he was like, where's Will Smith when you need him?
That's so fucking lame. That's
Marjorie did not like this one. In fact, she called the cops on Jimmy Kimmel.
Comedy police.
She reported Jimmy Kimmel to the Capitol Police.
Harassment.
For making a veiled threat. And I love seeing shit like this because, like, there's, like, a particular group of people that, like, all they care about is, these fucking libs are trying to censor us, they're trying to take away our freedom of speech. This lady literally called the cops on a joke.
She literally called the comedy police. Like, wow.
She didn't call the PC police. She called the DC police. Yeah. Like, amazing.
What a cunt.
Yeah. Marjorie Taylor Greene, friend of the pod, still a cunt.
She's got a really, really big mouth. I mean...
Look, she's got a really big...
How friendly are you guys?
I bet Marjorie Taylor Greene's dick is bigger than mine, dude. But while we're talking about Will Smith, I do want to touch on this. You know, we talked about the slap. There's, you know, every takes... The official position
of
the worst week yet.
A bunch of white people weighing in on two black men is too cringe. Like,
the official position of this podcast is that it was CGI. It didn't even happen.
the glitch.
Just like the towers falling.
Yeah. I've been in New York. The towers are still there, dude. I don't know what they're talking about.
In our hearts.
But this week, Will Smith, the Oscars Association, or whatever the fuck it's called, they announced that Will Smith is now banned from the Oscars for 10 years. For 10 years.
He's such a method actor, though. He's going to show up.
You know, and it's, you know, again, Hollywood, there's a problem. You know, accountability, you know, people doing things that are wrong, and you know, being held to task. In other Hollywood news, this week, Louis C.K. won a Grammy for Best Album of the Year. Those two things don't have anything to do with each other, do they?
And Woody Allen can still go to the Oscars, so, you know.
You know,
technically, he didn't slap anyone publicly, so he only slapped...
There's no way Woody Allen hasn't slapped someone privately.
Yeah. No, he only slaps underage people with his dick, so, you know, it wasn't public, so it's okay, right?
Also, Louis C.K. was not present at the Grammys,
yeah.
So LeVar Burton had to accept
this
award.
Reading Rainbow of Cum, what the fuck?
Like, what a fucking word salad of all the different ways you can feel bad in one sentence.
So,
like,
this is what makes me think that in 2016, the Shern Collider actually did change reality. And we're not living in a simulation, because that sentence doesn't sound real at all.
Like, you know it's bad when you get nominated and win an award to a place you cannot go.
Right.
Like, really?
Wait, I think Louis can go to the Grammys.
Oh, yeah, no, he had other stuff going on.
Oh, yeah, they definitely support him.
Yeah, no, Louis canceled. He was headlining a club in, like, Minneapolis. Or something,
right.
I'm sure. Yeah.
But he's touring with Adrian Albalucci right now, and I love her, so, like, good for her. But
good for her. Hope they're separate dressing rooms.
To be fair, she's not his type. Okay.
Now, I do want to move on. The worst week yet, famously, very stupid people host this show. So I do want to briefly talk about Russia. Don't come to this. The listeners know. You should not be coming here to get actual informed news. If you are doing that, it is your own fucking fault for how misinformed you're going to be. I do want to talk about this. There's like a couple. I don't even know what's going on with Russia and Ukraine. Again, I think it's mostly CGI.
It's just mostly genocide.
Oh, I mean, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. This week, Lithuania cut Russian gas imports. as the first country to be like, no, we're not taking the Russian energy. Don't know what that means. I assume it's bad. Maybe it's good. The United Nations suspends Russia from the Human Rights Council.
Well, that will teach them.
Here's the thing. I don't know if you can trust the Human Rights Council if the United States is a part of it.
Very good point.
Like, at the very least, they should have kicked us both out. But, President Zelensky from Ukraine, he goes on TV this week, and he's like, you know, Russia has been found dismembering bodies and sexually assaulting women in the towns they pass through. And I'm just like, dude, like, have you heard any of the accounts from what Americans did in Iraq? Like,
Or Coachella.
I think Ukraine got off easy, dude.
You know? Woodstock 99. Heard of that? I can go on.
Yeah, we definitely should have been kicked out of the United Nations after that Woodstock documentary.
Anyone heard of Jeff Singer?
Joe Biden called on Vladimir Putin to be charged with war crimes. I'm like, Joe, that's a party you don't want to fucking start, dude. But there was some news out of Russia as well. This week, Russia's foreign ministry spokesperson went on TV and claimed that Ukraine's refusal to share its legacy of borscht with Russia.
Is that a food?
Yeah, it's like beef stew or something.
Like a goulash.
The fact that Ukraine refuses to share the legacy of borscht proves that the country is governed by Nazis. So, I mean, like I said, there's both sides to every story.
You know,
dismembering and sexually assaulting, not sharing the soup recipe. Who's to say? I am not gonna judge.
It's a food worth fascism.
Oh no, your beet soup I can't have. Terrible time.
I've never had borscht. The only thing I know about it is on an episode of The Rugrats, one of the kids got sprayed with a skunk, and they had to take a bath in borscht.
And they were digging mass graves after that.
The Rugrats was a wild show, dude. So that's enough about international events. I wanted to... Oh, wait, no, this is also an international story. I'm a great podcast host. This week, I think... it's early in the century. But I think we saw the heist of the century this week. In a town... or giant city, I have no context, named Bihar, India, a den of thieves stole an entire bridge.
What?
These dudes showed up pretending to be government irrigation officials, and they brought a bunch of power tools and chopped up an entire 60-foot-long bridge and just took it.
What kind of pawn shop are they taking that to?
That's the best midnight climb job I've ever heard of.
Like, first off, this is very Indiana Jones. Are you sure this is from this century?
Let's it's very National Treasure. If that National Treasure was like a small footbridge,
right.
We're gonna steal the way we get across the street.
Also, what drugs are they on to make this a thing? Like, I used to steal vacuum cleaners for meth, but a bridge, like. This has got to be some blue crystal shit.
In Pittsburgh, the scrappers, they take the pipes out of your basement, but a den of thieves dismantling a bridge. Like next level shit.
Here's what I'm hoping.
Is this a new kind of Indian crack? What's going on?
Here's what I'm hoping is that these folks from India, the den of thieves from Bihar, do not hear about Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, a town famous for having so many bridges you can't choose which one to jump off of. If these guys find out about our city, all of a sudden you're gonna wake up, try to drive across the river, you're gonna fall in that fucking river, dude.
We cannot lose any more bridges in Pittsburgh.
We need to build a wall around the bridge.
Now, what zip line? What was the motive?
I don't fucking know.
We need to scrap it.
Scrap.
Yeah, for sure.
What was it made out of in India? Mud?
Mud scraps.
What?
Silt?
You think our economy's bad.
Yeah, so I don't know. Congratulations. I think they got away with it. I don't know. I haven't looked at I famously do not look past the headlines. So I'm assuming they lived happily ever after, which is the best. Our next story is somebody who unfortunately did not live happily ever after.
Yay.
Or live at all. This week, a Salt Lake City woman named Margaret Oswald was visiting the Grand Canyon and fell in it and died.
Yeah.
Well, I love a good tourist story going
She bad. Went to the biggest hole on the planet.
Fell in.
And didn't think to be careful.
I don't know, man. Depth perception, drinking, fucking, it's the need not to live, like, who knows? Have we talked to her therapist? Like, has anyone dug any deeper here? Like, maybe it was not an accident.
One time I flew to Los Angeles, and there was no clouds, so I saw the Grand Canyon from the plane, and I backed up from the window. It was so easy. Sorry to victim blame, but Margaret Oswald, you had it coming. Gravity, folks, it gets us all. Let's move on. This is exciting. I love stories out of Florida. People think Florida's the craziest state. It's Pennsylvania. Florida just has the most open reporting laws.
Yeah.
Like, every crime gets reported.
The Sunshine Law.
Which makes
it look crazy, but they just report everything.
And I'm so thankful that there's at least one state that does that, because we get gems of stories like this. So this week, two Florida teenagers decided to test out the limits of a bulletproof vest.
Oh. As you do.
16-year-old Christopher Leroy Broad Jr., which already too many fucking names, and 17-year-old Joshua Vinning took turns being the body armor wearer and the 9mm shooter. Broad shot Vinning once, and then they switched places. Vinning then shot Broad, and he gave a nod of approval. You know, we did it. And then he shot him four more times, which fucking killed the fuck out of this kid.
You know, and the thing is, it's not even quarantine, so you can't blame it on boredom. If this was a quarantine story, I'd be a little more like, yeah, well, quarantine, am I right? But
like, the best stuff, the first bullet, it's like, well, I got most of the clip left. Let me just get rid of the rest of these. But yeah, did not work out great.
Did they read the instructions? Like, most of the bulletproof vests aren't, like, you know, for multiple uses. It's like one bullet and it gets done, you know?
Now, normally I don't like to speculate the details of a story, but I'm going to go ahead. I feel confident that no, they did not read the instructions. So this story got even better. After this one kid died, a third friend that was there watching all this called the police and told them that their house had been hit by a drive-by shooting.
Because, you know, cops don't investigate.
Because, I mean, they're teenagers. They're panicking. Holy shit, we just killed the fuck out of our friend. We can't get in trouble for this.
Where did this bulletproof vest come from? Yeah. You know, we just wear it in the living room.
So the cops showed up, and instantly they're like, yo, dude, that is not what fucking happened.
Did they at least, like, try to break some windows to try to, like, make it look like it was a drive-by?
I think they used all the bullets on their friend. I don't know what these kids were doing,
dude.
They're,
like, hitting it with baseball bats. Like, ballistics, we'll never know.
So rest in peace, but thank you for your service of giving this podcast content.
Yes, thank you for the content.
Let's move on. We're going to do a segment we like to call Fuck the Police, man.
Fuck the police.
We got a few stories of cops doing, you know, what cops do. This week, the New York Police Department, NYPD, had to admit that it killed an unhoused man after officers driving a police van were speeding trying to beat a red light and fucking just ran over a guy. They dragged him 35 feet, and they were like,
fuck, that wasn't...
We did that.
That wasn't a giant rat,
was
it?
We did that. He didn't even have any pizza.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, these fucking cops, like, I guarantee they would not have admitted it if they didn't have to.
Oh, if it wasn't public, they would have been like, he jumped in front of us.
Yeah.
Like,
it's horrible. There's so many fucking stories about cops just getting away with it. I'm sure these guys will be given, like, promotions or something. They'll be given a new van, probably, is what they'll get.
It was the van's fault.
Yeah, no, the van wasn't fast enough to get through the light, I guess. I don't know. It's fucking terrible. While we're on the subject of police, though, I want to talk about this story out of Aurora, Colorado, where the police chief, Vanessa Wilson... She was brought on in 2020 after the cops there murdered Elijah McClain. For listeners, if you're not familiar, if you don't remember, I know there's so many stories about cops killing fucking black kids. Elijah McClain was the one that was walking home with headphones on, and the cops started harassing him. He didn't realize what was going on, and so he had a panic attack, and then they injected him with ketamine, and he fucking died.
And he was a sweet, sweet kid.
Yeah, he, I mean, he's special, like, above average soft spot in my heart because he took his violin to
and
the animal shelter and played for the cats.
I think
so,
that one hit people hard.
And if you read the transcript, it's heartbreaking because he's saying stuff as the cops are, like, attacking him. He's going, teamwork makes the dream work. Like trying to, like,
yeah.
It's so fucking sad.
So, you know, obviously, after that horrific incident, the officers did not get in trouble. But, you know, there was, like, a lot of backlash in the community. So they brought on Vanessa Wilson to be the new police chief. She was, you know, to focus on outside relations and, like, try to rebuild the community's trust.
Is she a white person?
I don't do research for this show. All
right.
But this week, what happened was she was fired, effective immediately, from the police department because she was, quote, damaging morale by trying to build community trust. They're like, hey, you're being too nice to these people out there. So they fucking fired her. Jim Twombly, the city manager, said, the police chief also needs to effectively engage with staff, build morale, and validate employee feedback. Sorry she was trying to, like, rebuild the image of a police department that killed a fucking kid for no reason. Instead of being like, well, how are you feeling, guys?
Right. I never want to have sympathy for a cop, but at the same time, like, can you imagine being the person that has to go in to that police department and deal with the roasting and the nonsense from all the cops that exist there, pissed about presence?
I don't think they're smart enough to roast each other.
Yeah, no.
I mean, I just think that whole situation for her was doomed from the start. They knew
right.
They weren't going to keep that
right.
person.
You know, when somebody rapes and murders me, the first thing I'm thinking is, well, why did they do it? How are they feeling? You know? Well, even when he gets to the car,
it's important to check in when you're being murdered violently.
Yeah. Hey, why are you doing this? Can we talk about your childhood between knife wounds?
But it is the official position of this podcast that the only good cop is a cop that gets fired for trying to be good, and Christopher Dorner.
Don't corner the Dorner.
While we're on the subject of crime and punishment, justice, if you will, we had a story come out this week. This is very exciting. Another one of the people on trial for the January 6th insurrection, as it's allegedly called. I like to call it a party down in the house.
Do you think it was a hologram?
It was a house party.
The worst house party ever.
So, yeah, I've been to worse.
I've been to parties with less camo, I'll say that.
I've been to parties with more Confederate flags. I don't feel comfortable with Pennsylvania. I don't like it.
It wasn't very diverse, I'll say that.
Pennsylvania, famously above the Mason-Dixon line, but you wouldn't know it.
They don't call Pennsylvania for nothing.
So, a man named Matthew Martin was on trial for participating in the January 6th insurrection. He was cleared of all charges after his defense team made the case that he had plausible belief that he was allowed to be inside the building because authorities didn't try to stop him.
And he's white? I mean, that's a very, like, that's
Here's
a very
the thing.
Persecuted person, you know, I thought. You'd think he'd been oppressed his whole life. Like,
he told the judge, he was like, you know, there was, like, a sign that said, like, nobody's allowed in, but, like, the door was open. And the judge was like, I guess you're right.
You got me there. That's like walking into a nuclear reactor and be like, well, no one stopped me.
He essentially told the judge that he was like, well, I didn't know it was illegal. And it worked. You gotta kind of hand it to him. Nobody's tried. Everybody's been like the fucking QAnon shaman guy was like, I'm under emotional distress, man. I got into this stuff. I didn't realize it was gonna be like that. This guy's like, I didn't know you couldn't do that. And that worked.
That is a, yeah, that's privilege. That's kind of incredible. He should go be a lawyer after this.
He should be our next president. I'm just kidding. We already know who our next president's going to be.
The cop that got away with killing Elijah. <Yeah. laughs>
I was going to say Christopher Dorner, but unfortunately. let's move on to some, you know, horrifying news? I don't know. It's all bad. It's
yeah!
all bad, folks. This week, the rental company Zillow put out a study that said rental prices have increased 22% in the last year. Now, I don't know if you guys have been paying attention to how much pay has increased in the last year.
It doesn't match.
It is not that much, or at all. You know, they're like, hey, minimum wage is still $7.25 in a bunch of states, but you know what? The rent is now $1,500 for the bathroom.
You only get
the bathroom.
Bloomberg just recommended that families save an extra $5,000 a month to keep up with inflation. That was their helpful hint for the year to the poor little peasants that we are. You guys are going to want to save an extra $5,000, just like letting you know out of the kindness of our Bloomberg hearts.
We here at Bloomberg News Co., we understand that not a lot of you live paycheck to paycheck, but you know things are going to get pretty rough this year. Have you considered saving $5,000 in the meantime?
Right, exactly.
Look,
yeah.
We love a problem solver on this podcast,
and
you know?
Solved everything.
Bloomberg, they shouldn't call it Bloomberg News, they should call it Bloomberg Solutions.
Yeah.
Bloomberg Solutions.
Stand.
How much did it cost?
There's always money in the Bloomberg banana stand? Fair enough, dude.
We are corporate serfs. It's what we are.
We love to see it. So I do want to check in with our future president, Donald J. Trump. He's, you know, not necessarily a friend of the pod. I wouldn't say an enemy of the pod. Hopeful future guest of the pod.
Enemy
Donald Trump.
Of my pussy.
I know eventually he'll do one of those hamburger dinners again, and I just want to make sure I'm invited. I'm never going to go too far to cross Donald Trump because I need to make sure I'm on that list, okay?
I just want his tax attorney.
I saw a story this week, and I love hearing shit about like this about Donald Trump. The State Department put out some fucking briefing that it has no record of gifts whatsoever that Donald Trump received in 2020, his last year in office. And
did he bribe them?
He just didn't give them the records.
We have no records. They don't
He's
exist.
So smart.
Look,
that
like,
is genius. You just don't give them the records.
Like, all politicians are corrupt, right? Like, it's every single one of them. But they're all, so many of them are, like, sneaky about it. Like, we did a story last week where Hillary Clinton got, like, fined by the Federal Election Commission because she, like, pretended that something that she, like, opposition research, she said it was legal fees uh-huh. and, like, you know, trying to do all this weaselly paperwork bullshit. Donald Trump's just like, fuck you, I'm not giving you my papers, dude. Like,
didn't have it, never existed, don't know. No idea.
I stuffed them in the toilet in the White House.
He actually did. And here's the funniest thing. The funniest thing I heard in his mansion, he was trying to get rid of records, and he was flushing documents down the toilet. His mansion has like 16 fireplaces.
He probably doesn't know how to get
What
away.
Was he doing?
He's a fucking innovator, okay? Just you wait and see. Look, when Donald Trump gets reelected in 2024, you know, he made America great again. He's going to make it great again, okay?
Yep. Well, I think we're changing the dictionary definition of the word great.
Yeah. Whatever, dude.
Great just means wider wealth disparity now.
Oh, boy. Well, thankfully we have Joe Biden in there. He's doing such a great job, right? Just...
Where's my fucking money, Joe?
Yeah.
Joe Biden, come on this podcast. You owe me $600.
Money.
Yeah, someone needs to invent some dementia medication, like, quickly.
Look, let me ask you a question, the two of you. Who would you rather party with, Joe Biden or Donald Trump?
Oh, is there cocaine?
There's no out. You have to pick one.
There's no
the party out. Has whatever. The
no
party
escape.
Has whatever you want.
I would pick Donald Trump so I could put fentanyl in his cocaine.
Yeah. I feel like Donald Trump's the only person that fentanyl would make him stronger.
I mean, McDonald's isn't killing him. It's incredible.
I think he'll outlive us all, honestly. Like, the worst people just don't die. Like, Henry Kissinger, what is he, like, 100? He's still going strong. Henry Kissinger's healthier than I am, dude.
I'm going to go the opposite way. I'm going to say that I want to party with Joe Biden just because I want to, like, weekend at Bernie's him and just kind of bring him around some cool shades, you know, get an ice cream cone in his hand, put my arm around him, show him off. Like, that's the kind of partying I'm going to do. I don't want to do cocaine parties with yacht people. That's disgusting.
I mean, I did it when I was in New York when I wasn't sober. It was really fun. I highly recommend it, actually.
How did you tolerate the yacht people?
I just fucking did coke and told them jokes, and they gave me free cocaine because they thought I was funny. It's the most I've ever gotten paid doing comedy.
The most I ever got paid doing comedy was a $100 gift card to a sandwich shop, dude.
That one really hit with the audience, folks.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the three people in this room that sits 150 just really lost it at that joke. So, on to our even less favorite rich douchebag. This week, Elon Musk bought 10% of Twitter so that he could get a seat on the board. Elon is taking control of Twitter. Now, a few weeks ago, Elon Musk announced that he was thinking about like maybe starting a Twitter rival, which is a move that Donald Trump has tried like 4 times, and it fails every time. Every time Donald Trump's like, "Oh yeah, we got this new alternative to Twitter," and like nobody wants to use it because like Twitter is already there, dude.
Parler was just like the white supremacist like registration board.
Also, it's not fun if the people on the other side aren't there to fight with you.
Exactly.
Fucking point of Twitter. Like, why would you want to go to a social media platform where everybody just thinks the same bullshit thoughts that you do? That's
an echo chamber.
Yeah. So Elon Musk, he's essentially doing what Donald Trump would do if Donald Trump was actually a rich guy, which is don't do your own thing, just buy control of the thing you want. Mm-hmm. So Elon Musk, he's like announced that he wants to do an edit button on Twitter, which is like, that doesn't really make any sense. Like, I've seen people like edit their Facebook statuses after they get shared a bunch to like say something horrible. I feel like I understand why people want it because all your best tweets always have a typo in them, but like, I don't know, dude. I think it's a dangerous path to go down.
I think it's a big investment just to be able to like backpedal on stupid shit you said.
Well,
I'm sure that's why
Elon Musk doesn't want it for that. Elon Musk wants it because he thinks he's being censored. You know, the richest man who has ever lived.
The comedy police are coming for the millionaires, billionaires.
Joe Rogan thinking he's being censored.
Yeah. The richest man who has ever lived feels like, you know what, I don't know if I have enough power yet.
He's just sensitive. I mean, he's having secret babies, you know. Maybe he's in a place in his life right now, you know. He's not going to therapy. He wants his tweets to be censored. Maybe we're not looking at him correctly. Maybe he's very, very sensitive.
Maybe it was a gift for Grimes.
Yeah.
Oh, he's trying to get her back?
Yeah.
It was like a sweet thought.
She's like, I need to censor my tweets.
And he was like, you know, I know you have a lisp in real life. We don't want you to have one online. Let's do this.
Holy shit. Yeah, so congratulations to Elon. I imagine maybe he'll get... I saw somebody say maybe he just bought Twitter so that he can figure out a way so that nobody can ever tweet the picture of him and Ghislaine Maxwell again. Not the worst plan, I guess. I don't know. Elon, come on the pod. I just want
to
talk.
Yeah. Elon, come on my pod. I'd love to talk to you about a lot of shit. Oh, man. Bring Grimes, please.
Elon, can you introduce me to your ex?
Well, if they're really exes. This is getting into, like, you know, Hollywood gossip territory, but...
Oh, no.
Anyway.
Do you got some tea? Because we got time. What do you know about Grimes?
Okay, so she did this big Vanity Fair thing where she said that he's my soulmate and like we're still kind of in a relationship, but it's fluid. We're in a fluid relationship and he sees other people, but you know, he's really like my primary. And then he's dating the singer from Australia, and then that's when she announced they had a secret baby, too.
Yeah, I've never seen a breakup announcement followed the next week by a baby announcement. That was the wildest shit I've ever seen, dude.
And then immediately he made her recant and be like, well, our relationship is over, but he's still my soulmate. But I'm like, they're still fucking.
I thought you were going to say he made her recant that there was a baby.
That's the one STD you can't recant.
Especially not in a lot of states these days, am I right? Oh, Oklahoma. This week, Oklahoma passed a law that makes it a felony to perform an abortion. That's...
Boo.
You love it. Here's the thing, guys. Don't worry. Joe Biden, he's the most progressive president of our entire lives. Which means he is... watching this happen and doing nothing better than anybody else ever has.
Jimmy Carter.
Jimmy Carter also did nothing.
I know. That sweet old man with his peanuts.
He builds a lot of houses, though.
I love it. You love to see it.
I would like to see... Okay. All right, forget the party. Who do you think would build a better house, Joe Biden or Donald Trump?
Joe Biden. Oh, yeah, definitely. He's from Scranton. They're already there.
I would love to see Donald Trump with a ruler trying to just trying to figure it out. Like,
just have a tiny like construction hat on. Donald Trump looking real tough.
Donald Trump is the kind of guy that like I feel like if you like really fucked with him and then were like, I bet you can't build a shelf. He would try it. Like,
he would try to build the hugest house. You know, it would be of like 16 rooms. It would never get finished. There'd be stairwells going to nothing just to look like they were going somewhere.
He would walk into a Home Depot like, where do you keep the gold plating? Like, what?
Why
are you starting with that
pigs?
Part?
This is what I imagine. The Three Little Pigs, that's basically any house Donald Trump would build.
It would be the Winchester Mystery House of fucking cocaine and gold.
A comedian's job is to guide you through the Winchester Mystery House. Oh, this week, you know what? Let's talk about COVID. And now, obviously, COVID is over and was also never real. You know,
yeah, all those autopsies I did. Were just
we do our own research on this podcast, and by that I mean we don't. so you know, we try and talk about it every week. There's very little news about COVID these days because, as Donald Trump said, like a few months into the pandemic. If we just stop testing, the case numbers won't be so high.
Like, if you don't turn in the documents.
It's a very strange thing for Donald Trump to have been right about. We've stopped doing a lot of testing and like, oh yeah, we only have like 10,000 cases, dude. It's fine. Everything's fine.
To be boring and not funny, it's because diseases have one job, and that's to live. And so when they start out, they're more deadly. And as they progress, they get less deadly so they can stay alive in the host longer.
Well, how does that work with a fake, made-up fucking China virus? What are you talking about? I need you to send me your sources on that one, but I believe you for the purpose of the bit, okay? You know, it is strange, though, that COVID is, like, over and never was real to begin with, considering that this week, like, a dozen Congress people tested positive all from this fucking event.
Ooh, Andrew, including, I haven't
seen including... Nancy Pelosi is COVID positive. Woo! Hell yeah, Nancy!
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's
nasty
Nancy.
You know,
wearing that mask.
We love to see it. Nancy Pelosi, one of the biggest not friends of the pod. We are not Nancy people here, okay? Okay? Fuck Nancy Pelosi. I don't know, I lost my train of thought.
Would you call her an enemy?
I would call her an enemy.
Yeah,
yeah, you know what I would.
I'd say that Major Taylor Greene has better blowjob lips.
Dude, All right, who would you rather build a house that then you party in with? Nancy Pelosi or Marjorie Taylor Greene?
Marjorie.
I would party with Marjorie. Does she have like a fucking like side piece that's like a yoga instructor or something? Here's the thing. Marjorie Taylor Greene says some awful things, but she does kind of seem fun.
Yeah, she's got enthusiasm.
You go to Nancy Pelosi's house for a party, she's like, we've got a bowl of mint.
Yeah, we've got Werther's Originals for everybody. And
we've
Martin
got Werther's Originals, and they're the actual originals. I'm sorry.
Werther Taylor Greene has like Zimas and fucking
Xanax.
Yeah, she's doing like a 90 theme party where they fucking hit Clinton pinatas with bats. I mean.
Fuck yeah, dude. So Nancy Pelosi tested positive for COVID the day after she was standing with Joe Biden signing some fucking bill or some shit. But according to the CDC definition, she was not a close contact. Somehow. Joe Biden is the only man in America, the only person in America that has not had COVID yet. And I don't understand it. I want Joe Biden to have COVID. He deserves it. You know? He sees us, he hears us, somehow he doesn't breathe our air? What the fuck, Joe?
Is he real?
Joe Biden was the CGI slap at the Oscars. Yeah, no, it's all connected. This is the part of the podcast where I start connecting things with string.
Who else got COVID?
I don't fucking know. A bunch of Congress people that aren't fun to talk about because I don't know who they are.
Nancy.
Yeah, no, Nancy, that's been on my my wish. Is it good to say you have a list of politicians you wish got a plague disease?
Well,
I feel like that's not good.
This podcast for
I don't think Marjorie Taylor Greene will call the police on you for that.
Look.
It sounds like a threat, though. Maybe.
Marjorie, if you're listening and you have questions, you can reach me directly, worstweekyet@gmail.com. I just want to talk.
Yeah.
This week also, lawmakers agreed to a deal for $10 billion in COVID funding, which is good. You know, they ran out of money from the last stimulus, and they were like, oh, we got to end all every single one of the COVID programs. Hopefully it doesn't come back or get worse.
Is that PPE for the hospitals, or is that stimulus checks for the peasants?
Well, this is a... Oh, it's... No. We are not getting any money.
Oh, no, that's...
Where's
my fucking money, Joe?
I looked into it. They just repurposed money from the previous stimulus. Like, they didn't even, like, get any additional funding. They were like, we had some of this left over that we were like, I don't know.
Leftover money! You have leftover money! You
well, yeah,
because
they didn't forgive our student loans, so it's just sitting around.
Yeah, that $600 that Joe Biden never sent us, they're like, I guess we can use this to, like, buy some strips or something, dude. I don't know.
It's like the office, like, change jar for the pizza party.
Yeah, so, I don't know. COVID, it's happening again or still or never did.
Listen, when I worked in the hospital in Brooklyn during COVID, they had not enough masks, and the nurses used to trade mangoes for extra masks between each other. Mangoes for PPE.
Mangoes for masks.
Yeah, it was
weird. All right, so this actually might be a plan we could get off the ground, like, at a national level. Like, everybody that has a mango probably would want a mask, and everybody that... I can guarantee everybody with a mask is like, yeah, I could go for a mango.
Or whatever regional fruit. I
yeah.
mean, we don't have to be mango specific.
What's the regional fruit of Alaska?
Alaskans?
Meth?
Salmon. It's always salmon. Everything
it's
in Alaska
salmon.
Is salmon.
Yep.
This podcast is being recorded on a fish right now. This is amazing, you guys.
Forget about it. Is it salmon?
It's held.
I can't believe it's not salmon. Guess what? It's still salmon. Everything's fucking salmon, dude. So this is interesting. This week on Monday, the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change released a report that says we absolutely have to stop greenhouse gas emissions no later than 2025 to prevent catastrophe.
I think it's a little late.
Now, if you're keeping track at home, it is 2022. That gives us 3 years to do something. I feel like they just, whoever released this report should just quit. Like, what are you doing? Why would you even put that out? You know, they didn't respond whenever they're like, we got 50 years, we got 10 years, we've got 45 minutes. Like, nope. And I don't understand, like, the time frame keeps getting smaller, but it's like nobody cares still. Like,
what we should be doing is investing in a time machine. Because
okay.
we are fucking doomed. Like, we're all dying. So no time machine or nothing.
You can't even run for president in this country in under 3 years, and we're expected to solve the
climate problem.
First off,
I like the time machine idea. I would use a time machine horribly irresponsibly. I just steal everybody's jokes and stuff and be a famous comedian. I always said the first thing I would do if I had a time machine is I would go back and just be the first person to tweet, you're telling me a shrimp fried this rice? That would be great. Although, like, just thinking about it, like, that's such an overdone tweet. I don't know who the person was that came up with it. So, like, that wouldn't actually bring me any fame, but I just want to be the first one.
I would go back and I would probably fuck Hitler and praise his art.
Hitler was an incel. That's podcast canon.
People
all he needed was a fucking
love.
Little bit of ass.
People
he would have been fine.
I'm telling you, sex workers prevent murders. If they're not murdered.
Woo!
Yes.
Sex workers prevent murders and also are murdered at the highest rate.
Yes.
It's fucking strange conundrum.
It's called frontline work, okay?
Essential workers. They should be out on the fucking porches banging on pots and pans for sex workers.
Yes!
Right? Hell yeah, dude.
Yes.
Monica, what would you do with a time machine?
What would I do with a time machine? I'm
what,
just going to see dinosaurs.
What
I'm
dictator from the past would you fuck?
You would die. You would step out of the time machine and you would die.
That's okay. This whole thing is Alaska before you die. So we're here now and I'm free to die how I please.
You are.
If it's in the hands of dinosaurs, that's the most badass thing anyone's ever heard of.
I think there's a decent amount of dinosaurs that I could beat in a fight.
Can you list one?
Velociraptors, as long
no,
as they had
no.
their toes like, taped up. Like, I'm not fucking
like,
the toes. If it's just mouth and hands, I'll fuck a velociraptor up.
Rampharyngus.
A what?
It's a...
Zach
it's
Galifianakis was not a dinosaur, okay?
He wasn't very funny, but he could fly.
I loved him in that movie, The Hangover, Part 3. So this week...
Jurassic Edition?
Yeah. the Lost Hangover world. This
wouldn't,
is.
Wouldn't be good. Surprised if that's getting pitched now.
You guys ever host a podcast and realize you're just doing word association with yourself? It's not good.
We're not real.
Let's move on. Enough talk of time travel. This week, Starbucks announced that they will be raising prices this year. Now, for those of you who are familiar with Starbucks, last year they had a 31% increase in profits. But this year,
They're raising prices.
Well,
if we all just save that $5,000 Bloomberg told us, hey, we're going to be fine.
Skip those lattes. Starbucks has no choice but to raise the prices. We're all working on getting houses, people.
If you start eating just half a slice of avocado toast at a time. No, Starbucks is raising their prices, and I think that this is like one of those like completely dastardly evil things. That what they're doing is they're trying to make every Starbucks customer mad at every Starbucks employee. Like, I think that they are literally just trying to fight the unions by making the customers treat the workers bad.
I think they want a reality TV show, if that's what they're trying to do.
Starbucks the show?
Yeah.
What happens when people stop being real and start being coffee? Like, what?
Well, they have to pay for those plastic cups. I mean, they're us passing the cost along to us because, you know, they want to be environmentally
friendly. It's a lot of
friendly.
Drama. I mean, it is a drug. People are addicted. You know,
yeah.
Nobody's doing the reality show of the needle exchange, but, you know, fucking Starbucks is more socially acceptable.
What was that show? Yeah, but you know what? I don't watch TV.
Moving on.
I was Naked and Afraid, but I thought it was about a person with intimacy issues. So I guess the best way to fight unions is to trick your customers into yelling at your employees, I guess.
I guess they won't work there long enough to form a union then.
I don't know. There's been, like, I think 100 Starbucks stores that have unionized this year. I love to see it.
Fuck yes.
Yep. We don't have a lot of good news on this podcast.
And then Amazon unionizing.
Oh,
that one was tasty.
That
and I love what the guy said. He's like, I'm glad Jeff Bezos went to space because we were unionizing. Like,
fuck
you.
Yeah. I think that dude might be the first person to make Jeff Bezos like personally mad in like a decade at least.
He's gonna get so mad his other eye's gonna fucking get
it. Christian Smalls, I think.
That
sounds right.
Folk hero, though, guys. Folk hero.
Hero that we don't know the name of. So we're going to end the podcast today with, we have a reoccurring segment on the show that I like to call, What the Fuck, Joe Biden?
What the fuck, Joe? Where's my money?
It's a reoccurring segment because like every story is also kind of that too. But no, we you know, I scour the headlines and I try and find what old Grampy Brandon's up to. He's always doing some fuck shit. This week, Joe Biden announced that he is again extending student loan payment
clauses. The fuck? If you really needed the money that bad, you wouldn't be given these extensions, Joe. We know you got it. We
know
you're good for it.
Like, I don't know how long this road is that we're kicking the can down, but like, just do something out. Like, again, like, he ran on, yeah, we'll do $50,000. No, I mean, we'll do $10,000 in debt relief. He's not doing anything. He's just like, we'll wait a little bit longer before we come and take your money. I don't understand the strategy of it. Because he kicked him back, I believe, to the end of August, which is, like, right before the midterm elections. I don't understand how the Democrats, like, ever want to win again.
Who owns the student loans? Like, is it like some gangster fucking, like, you know, like, syndicate? And they're gonna kill him if he doesn't, you know, like, and maybe he's got fucking a monkey on his back. Maybe they're threatening him. I don't know.
What are
banks? Do the Russians own the student loans? Like, how bad is it? How far up the chain does this go?
Joe, are the bankers in the room with you right now?
Yeah, exactly. Blink once. Blink. That's what he's trying to tell us in all these press conferences when he looks like he's this is his cry for help. He's like, he's underdressed, you guys. The student loan gangsters.
I, you know, me personally, I always, whenever I'm being fucked to death by the President of the United States, want to make sure, like, Joe, how are you doing?
That's what I keep telling you about killers and stuff. Ask them about their childhood, you know? It's about them.
How was your day?
Right.
Yeah.
What's making you fuck me hard right now? Why are you taking all of my money and making me live a life of fucking financial servitude? I care. Like, what is the root problem of this?
Fuck Joe Biden. Or what the fuck, Joe
Biden?
Our last story this week, in our What the Fuck Joe Biden segment is, this is a very special one. We don't get a lot of these. On a very special live episode, recorded in front of so many empty chairs. Joe Biden this week, this is a crossover episode, or segment, story. Ooh. I can't talk. This week, Joe Biden was joined by former President Barack Obama. He came back to the White House. Barack was back, and he was there to help push healthcare reform. Joe Biden then signed an executive order telling federal agencies to try to fix it.
Oh my God.
So
he's like, hey, Department of Health and Human Services, what do you got?
So he just sent them, like, a request. He just sent them, like, a comment card.
He the sitting president, invited the former president over to his house so he could put a little piece of paper in the suggestion box.
Exactly. I need the guy that actually made something happen to have my back. I mean, how weak does that make him look?
It's not good. It's not good. Yeah. They call it Obamacare, but I don't think anybody really cares. You know, oh, it's getting sad.
It's like a white rapper that has a fucking backup person with actual cred come and perform with
them.
Yeah,
you just needed that.
I do agree that Joe Biden's like a white rapper. So, yeah, I don't know. I have high hopes for this one.
That's a lot.
You know, the problem with healthcare is that nobody thought of trying to fix it until now. So, congratulations,
Never
Joe.
Never heard of it. Very original.
It's a long road, but you're leading us down it. Hopefully nobody has stolen the bridge. So, thank you, Monica. Thank you, Lauren, for joining me. We'll get your plugs in here. Lauren, where can people find you and follow you?
Yeah, at the Lauren Petrie. It's Lauren with a Y, P-E-T-R-I-E, at the Lauren Petrie on Twitter and Instagram. And my website is Lauren Petrie Comedy. You can just Google that. And I've got a podcast called The Erotic Fan Fiction Hour. It might be rebranding, but you can find that so far right now.
Fuck yeah, dude. Monica, would you like people to find you anywhere?
No.
Wise. Well, you can follow the show at Worst Week Yet. You can sign up for our Patreon at patreon.com/worstweekyet. You can follow me at Andrew Hillary US. And you can tune in again next week for another fucking full list of fucked up shit. I'm so bad at any podcast. Thank you, Alaska!
I can see Russia from here.